Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Are you just Ken?
Who? We all are, if we believe hard enough.
Cool. Welcome to episode 43 of the official Geek Speak podcast. I'm your host, Sean. And joined as always is my co-host, Josh, or a calcum miner, Rudy Rudolph, because he hates the planet. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for?
I had to think for a second of what you were talking about.
This is worded wrong in my intro. I thought I might have said in the thing. Okay. Anyway, I think it's what more can you ask for? That's how it's written originally.
That's how it's always been.
I thought it's what else. You're probably right. I am deliriously tiredly drunk.
Every episode it's been what more can you ask for?
Now you remember the intro? Ooh, but when I have you do it, you don't know what it says.
When you put me on the spot, I'm not gonna know.
Go for it. Try
never.
Again.
Never.
I just said it. I said it wrong, but I just said it.
No, you've already said it. It's fine. We all need to talk about it.
It's the first episode of recording of 2024, which sounds like a very fake year.
It's strange that it's here.
Yes. Very astute, Josh.
I know. I know how calendars work.
How was your Christmas and New Year?
It was fun. I got a Lego film camera set for Christmas. He got
a single Lego brick.
One brick. What movie? I got the Weird Al movie and the Creator.
The sun got brighter. Sorry. Go on.
Yes, Weird Al terrifies all, as we know.
Go on.
I got some books. I got the Oppenheimer biography. I've got the Last Ronin comic, the first comic that I have gotten in many a moon. So I'm excited to check that out.
You can talk about it on the podcast when you finish it.
This is true.
Ah, cool. So most episodes of the show, we go through a different... I'll answer that question myself. I had a good holidays.
Woo!
We didn't do gifts this year because... Me and my girlfriend didn't do gifts or anything because money is, you know, I have paying rent.
They had so the gift of love.
Oh, no.
What we do, was but... that noise?
Oh. It was just like an aw, but like more exaggerated. Aw. Anyway, yeah, it was fun. We watched Fred Claus on Christmas, as did you, apparently. We also watched that Christmas Eve, Love Actually, as did you, apparently.
I saw that in the theaters.
Oh! Okay. And we had Sparkling Cider, we had a ham, we had some good food, we relaxed, we had a nice night, and on New Year's Eve, we had a nice time, too. Our friend came over, we watched the ball drop, sort of. Also, I learned that's a very American thing. Like, incredible. People don't even know that phrase outside of this country.
What was it?
Watch the ball drop.
Huh. Weird.
So, I saw an Australian on TikTok be like, what the fuck is someone saying? What shit is this?
Why is everyone doing it?
Whose kid are we looking at? This is not appropriate. Yeah. It's not anything gross. It's weird. There's a New York City, there's a ball, and it drops. That's literally it.
Yep.
It's a countdown to the new year. And they replay it. It replays on time for each time zone.
Crazy.
It's, they have it delayed by an hour on each time zone, so you can start tuning in and watch the whole thing. My friend David was actually in the Ryan Seacrest like live music party thing, so he saw Jared Leto live. Jared Leto was when his band was playing Heroes Against the Mars.
I keep forgetting that he started as a musician.
This was actually recorded in December 2nd, so he said it was very weird wearing 2024 stuff in early December.
Huh.
And like, because like all the like the live music stuff was pre-recorded by a while. So he saw Green Day live, a bunch of other cool artists and stuff. But he saw Jared Leto live.
Crazy.
Yeah, he said he did not love that part as much. And so that was kind of cool. He got to do that, and he was over that night watching it himself from the past. Anyway, I had an interesting New Year. My girlfriend's now sick, so
oof,
that's so fun. Yeah, most episodes of the show we'd be going to a different Disney Channel original movie, or DCOM, DCOM for short, and we'll see in a short period of time the biggest media company on Earth caters towards solely children with a large sample size. And today we watched Motocrossed. But if you're new to the show, here's how the show works. There's four main segments, and today we actually have all four segments again. I was laughing through a cough. Didn't work. And then, it sounds like I'm sick. I'm not. I'm just really still waking up. So my body is like, whoa, I'm here. We go through news of the week. This time it's about 13 days instead of 7 days. Sorry. And it's, which is helpful because it's over the holidays. Actually, there's not a lot of stuff came out. News-wise. And of course, there's news about geek and nerd culture, pop culture, stuff like that, movies, comics, TV, that kind of news. And then we'll go to our main topic, which today is going to be mostly Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. We considered touching on Godzilla Minus One, but our thoughts will probably be mostly, it's awesome.
Depends on how much we want to move away from talking about something mediocre to something really good.
I have way more thoughts on Aquaman 2. Probably, to say.
I don't know what thoughts I have on it.
Okay. And then we're going to our end segment, which is super weird stories. As Josh says, I know nothing about nothing, he knows something about something, or something like that.
Exactly. Someone put that on a shirt.
But basically that part of the show is where I tell my buddy Rudy here a super weird story about comic books or superheroes. Sometimes it's wholesome, sometimes it's problematic, sometimes it's just, it's me reporting to him the fascinating world that he's not fully embraced yet. Josh.
Yes.
Are you ready to talk about our DCOM of the week? Because I have thoughts.
I don't know, man. Like, I was just watching this. I was just like, I have, like, nothing to say about this. It's just, so, okay, here's the story. You got twins, and they like motorbikes. And the one...
Wait, Josh, do you not know what the story is?
Huh?
Wait, do you not know it's Shakespeare?
Yeah, I know it's Shakespeare. I don't know what the specific story is, because one of my notes was She's the Man Stole from This, confirmed.
Well, yes, it's Twelfth Night. It's my favorite Shakespeare play, so I loved this throughout.
I've seen this story done like so many times, of course, in many different things, and it just didn't do anything for me. But either way.
You've seen Twelfth Night many times?
Not the original. I'm talking about just like...
No, I mean, like, I've seen... She's the Man of This, the only actress I've ever heard of in movies.
Oh, I just... No, well, no, this... The idea of this story I've seen done in, like, shows and other things like that.
Okay.
Not specifically a, like, you know, adaptation specifically of that story. But let me say what the story is. Okay. So you get twins, one's boy, one's girl. They both like motorbikes, and then boy twin gets injured, and so girl twin is like, hey, I'll play for you in this competition, but I gotta look like a boy, because girls can't do motorbiking for some reason. I don't know, early 2000s sexism, whatever. And, you know, all the hijinks of just like, whoa, that dude is so cool, but they don't know that she's not really a dude, and romance, other things like that. I didn't really like it. I didn't really hate it. I don't have brain on it.
He doesn't have brain on it, y'all. Yeah, it's. I love Twelfth Night, so I was always looking for who's pairing with who, what's the story going to be. Are they going to pull that character into this thing? And there are some events that take place out of... So, I drafted the show in high school, so I'm really obsessed with characters and the lore of the story. And so I like any, like, attempt at it, genuinely, because I think it's
a really, really, really hard show to tackle, because it's hard to get anything right. Because it's, if you do it wrong, it comes off transphobic.
Yeah.
And really just homophobic and stuff, which is not the point at all. I could do a whole episode just about the original play, but I'm not going to do that. But this is fascinating. They took out, like, most of the character, like, parallels I can think of. Olivia was... Okay, so we had Boy in Green motocross as Orsino. I don't know his name is.
I don't know.
Characters. Yeah, and they had Andrew and Andrea, the characters in this, as Sebastian and Viola. Cesaro? What's the guy's name? Cesario? Well, yeah, Cesario. And for those who don't know Shakespeare play, don't read it. It's too much work. Please don't read this play. It's exhausting. It's a comedy. I think this overall, because I'll focus mostly on the DCOM though, this mostly to me worked on its own. It's weird if you don't know Shakespeare. It's weirder. Because nothing in this follows, they didn't pull enough from the play to me. So it comes off a little confusing and rushed at times. Especially the very end of this is just, oh, I like you now. Let's just change it around. And everything kind of just comes together at the end. Very bizarre. They added a third sibling in this, Jason.
Yeah, he knows how to fix stuff.
I guess they wanted a new dynamic for the siblings.
It doesn't really add much to the story, though.
I don't know what part Rene the French guy was supposed to play in the story.
Thank you! This random French douche shows up to, like, take the spot when
I assume Malvolio. Go on.
But it's like they find out... Well, no, her dad finds out that she's been, you know, taking the place of her brother, and, you know, he doesn't want her to do it. And so, I don't know how motocross sports work exactly, but I guess it's like, you know, you're a team and you have sponsors, so you need someone to take the place. So he gets this random French douchebag that apparently, I guess, does it well, and he's the absolute bane of my existence. I hate his presence, and I hate his smirky French accent.
Yeah, so it's Malvolio. Got it. Your passion made me convinced. But the problem for having that kind of character in this is you don't have Toby Belch or Andrew Aguecheek, other characters, to mess with him. And it doesn't come off. You don't have the balance of that, so he just stays smirky the whole time. Also, he's supposed to be also in love with Olivia in this character. In this version, it's the girl guy in green likes. What is the guy in green's name? Motocross guy.
The
boy?
I don't know. Horny boy? I don't know.
He likes girl with brown hair. I don't know the names in the story.
He likes girl with brown hair, and then he realizes once he gets her, he's like, oh, wait, I don't like you.
Jason. No, that's not Jason. That's right. Dean. His name is Dean?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I can't find it. What's the girl's name? I still don't know that one yet. Dean is not the most interesting name. That's why I forgot it, I guess. No offense to your name is Dean. Sorry. I mean, like, in terms of a character like this, where he's supposed to be the most suave person in the world, and he looks like his, you know, it's just a little odd. Farron, that's her name. That's a cool name, but I don't remember it. Farron Henderson, who also was not a character in this. She just walked by and was a girl. That's it, right? That was her character?
I guess.
Okay. Josh, if you've not seen, I'm gonna let you talk now. If you've not, so more of the story. So your sister dresses like brother, also shaves head to try and look like boy. I think it's funny is that it convinces everyone.
I mean, I do have to say, like, casting-wise, like, the two actors aren't related, and, like, when she does cut her hair, they actually do look pretty similar, so I'll give them that was good casting on their part.
I love, there's a scene early on in this movie where they pull a genius from the movie Genius, and have to just keep switching spots around.
Oh, yeah.
in a shop, and they make the shopkeeper think he's going insane.
It's great.
And I love that. Listen, the movie is not my favorite. It's probably a C or B tier out of the ones we've seen so far.
I would rather watch it again than Xenon the sequel.
I think it's going to have more going on, but I just love the original play, and that's all I was looking for when watching this. So I got distracted by looking for clues of, are they going to bring in Toby? Are they going to bring in Malvolio? Are they going to bring in Mariah, etc.? And that's where my mind went.
I just don't get how when Disney does a sport movie like this, they figure out how to make the sport, like, as boring to watch as possible. Like, I don't get the...
It was filmed not interesting.
No, not in the slightest. Like, it's any shots of them, like, you know, doing the motocrossing is done at a wide angle. Then whenever it cuts to, like, a character's reaction, it is, like, such an extreme close-up of their face that you can't tell that there's a green screen behind them. It's very strange.
And some of them were very weird medium shots where you couldn't tell what was going on. Like, I didn't like that.
Yep.
Our next film, though, is Luck of the Irish. Fun fact.
Oh, I'm excited for that. That's one that I think I've seen all the way through. I think. It's been many a moon since I have.
But this one, I have any notes? Because I wrote very few.
I have very few notes, too.
We're supposed to write more, but, you know.
My first note was they didn't crop this one. Now, I feel like that we've seen some of these that weren't cropped yet, but I've noticed that, like, the DCOMs that, you know, are beloved by people are cropped, and the ones that no one talks about are not cropped.
This is a popular adaptation of the story.
It is?
I went to Google and looked up some stuff, and I'm like, this is what it said.
I guess Disney's just doing it at random, then.
Hold on. I have other weird fun facts about this for you. Ready? The director of this made Johnny Tsunami, Mom's Got It, The Vampire, and Stepsister from Planet Weird.
All right, then.
He also made things like a movie called Meet the Deedles and Time Cop 2 with Keanu Reeves.
Well, that's fascinating to say the least.
Not Keanu Reeves. Jason Scott Lee. I don't want to say Keanu Reeves. I'm looking at... Anyway, we also got other fun facts like, where is it? I lost everything. Hold on. Trevor O'Brien, the guy who played Andrew, the actual brother, was in Dodgeball.
Cool.
And also in a movie with The Rock called Gridiron Gang. He also was in Time with Timberlake.
Neat.
Timothy Carhart, he's probably the most famous person in this movie. He's Edward Carson. He's the dad. He was in a lot more movies because he was an adult.
Because he's an adult.
Like Ghostbusters and Air Force One. But this movie was funny to you, but the call to guess. Scott Tara, who played Jason, the added third kid, was young Daredevil in Ben Affleck's Daredevil movie that we watched for the podcast.
He was?
Yep.
Crazy.
So that's kind of fun.
You know what? Now I can see it now.
This was fine. We usually give yay or nay. I'm giving it a yay because I like the thing is based on. Does that actually make anything good? No. But I give it yay anyway.
I'll give it a yay. If somehow I'm watching again, I don't know what situation I would be in to be seeing it again. I wouldn't hate my life. So there's a positive for you, I guess.
So my kids can see this. That's actually going to get them into literature too. You can say it's based on a book, kind of, you know, it's based on a play, but you can tell them and then help them, you know, engage in the idea of a story. That's cool. Also, I think that's a key part that's both in the original play and in this, in that when sister cross-dresses to brother, she also falls in love with a boy who is in love with a girl.
Yeah.
And so that's just part of the struggle. Now, in the original play, it's the actual only love triangle in history I've seen. Because the girl is then in love. So we have Violet, we have our cross-dressed girl dressing as boy, who is in love with another boy. In this case, it's Dean. And then Dean is in love with Farron, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, in the original play, Farron would then be in love with cross-dressed boy version.
Oh, okay.
In Twelfth Night. And then so it's an actual complete triangle. Usually it's like a love triangle, just a weird love bent line.
Yeah.
Without being completed. No, it's a complete cycle of a circle back and forth. And that's, I've always loved that. And then, of course, when the flip happens, things go up, when they realize who's who, it all gets a little bit complicated. Of course, in the original play, Sebastian, the brother, does pop up. And then the other girl who loved cross-dress version just falls for him because he looks the same.
Neat.
Even they have no personality the same. I'm like, that should be more than that, but okay. But so it would have been interesting to see some of that play out here, I think. At least have Farron have a little bit more interest in the main girl at that point. That would have been like, oh, that's a kind of cool, at least nod to it. No. But in this, the crux of it is she's in love with this green boy, Dean. He's first green. That's all I know. I like that they kept their ownest in colors the whole time, actually. That was very helpful.
Yeah.
Maybe the only thing about making this interesting to watch in terms of the racing was I know who was who based on that alone. Didn't know what was happening or who was winning or anything, but I knew that part.
Oh, yeah. Like, during the races, I didn't know who was, like, in the lead or anything. Like, I didn't care.
Moving on.
Yeah, there's really
what else happened?
Not much. That's the crazy thing. It's just like she goes to like a couple of them, does fine, then like the dad finds out, and yeah, that's just kind of what it is.
This is one of the most wild Shakespeare plays, and they kept none of the wild stuff. Yeah, moving on, I think. This is fine. You can watch it. It's fine. Josh, we have news.
News? Why?
We're going to start with Sling. Not good.
Oh, goody. I love it.
That was a fun thing you just said. This came out the day we were hanging out, actually. So, Vin Diesel has been accused of sexual battery in a lawsuit by a former assistant. I'm not going to get into the details, but that is terrible. I wish the best to the victim who reported this, and I wish the worst for him if it's true.
It's so frustrating just like how many men in Hollywood with like high statuses like this just keep, you know, getting revealed to be god awful. Like, it's very disappointing.
And we're only reporting this because again, it will probably affect our show going forward in terms of things that we will report on. We're not going to keep reporting the story, but we'll keep reporting on things like, you know, if news about Fast X Part 2, whatever, changes, then we, you all know at least at why we're addressing that. We have more Minecraft news, though, and that's that now Jack Black has signed on, and reportedly as Steve, which is, like, if you don't know, that's just like the main skin of the game. So will he be the star now instead of Jason Momoa?
I fully want this to be Jason Momoa just gets transported into Minecraft. That's all I want, because it'd be so ridiculous. I'd love it.
Imagine Jack Black and mocap for Steve. Just doing full arms and everything.
Beautiful. Eric's
blocky man. Choosing Jason Momoa, keeping his actual organic, like, normal human body versus, like, everything in blocks.
Yeah.
Is that what you want? Okay. Also, Jack Black posted a picture of him reading Minecraft Basics for Dummies, a book, which is probably incredibly outdated at this point. But I guess, yay, this is the weirdest casting, and it feels like it's like I'd see on like this busing film or something. It feels like a fake news article, but it's real. And that's crazy.
I love it.
Yay or nay?
I give it a big yay.
Jaimin Hunsu, which I think I pronounced that correctly, cool actor. I like him a lot. Yep. You did watch him last night in a movie.
I watched him in a movie I hate, which we'll probably talk about at some point.
You hate his performance?
No, not him. He's fine. I got nothing against him. I'm talking about the movie in general.
Okay. Jaimin Hunsu says he finds it challenging with the business side of filmmaking after previously saying how he feels unfairly cheated with the pay over his career and saying, quote, it's not where it needs to be yet. Let's put it that way. That's fair. He is working hard and he is not getting recognized.
Like, you look at his career, like, not only does he have 2 Oscar nominations, but just, like, the giant films that he's been in over the years. Like, you think that he should be, like, you know, a, like, much bigger actor and better paid actor than he is, and for some reason he isn't.
Guardians, Captain Marvel, Aquaman 1, Rebel Moon now. Like, he's been doing stuff.
The Shazam movies, like, this is, and this, the Kingsman, like, there's many things, like, it's very weird.
People also pointed out in the comments, here's one of the replies on Twitter about this, is saying, not just acting either, with a face like his, he should be a household name in fashion and cologne ads. Honestly, yeah, he looks like a good guy, like, give him, like, actual advertising things, too, because that might help us, like, get his face more out there, besides makeup and stuff. Because people usually see him as, like, Korag in Guardians, and or, like, in fully fish regalia in Aquaman, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah. I think it's hard to recognize him when you don't know his face as much, but I know his face. He's a good actor. It's sad. He needs more money. Give him more money.
Yep.
Christopher Landon says he exited from directing Scream 7.
Man.
Fair. And the quote he said was, this will disappoint some and delight others. It was a dream job that turned into a nightmare, and my heart did break for everyone involved. Yes, yay, good job.
Literally, he was, like, such a perfect choice to continue Scream, and then all this bullshit happened. So, like, I don't blame him for leaving at all.
We're not gonna touch on why again. We did that before.
We've already talked about it. Go listen to another episode.
Which one, Josh, you know?
I know, because I edited it. It was...
You got it. We're almost there. It's episode 43.
The one where we talked about things.
41.
Yeah.
Yeah, the end of that. So, yeah. So he, Richard Linden, who's directed Happy Death Day and Freaky and Happy Death Day to You, and We Have a Ghost came out last year. So yeah, that's, it's sad that he's not directing it, but also I'm not gonna watch that movie anyway. So Michael Mann, are you aware who this is?
He's made movies that I've heard are good, but I have seen none of yet.
You've not seen any of his movies before?
I have Heat. I have the sequel book that he wrote. I have not watched it yet. There's many things by him I want to see. I just haven't yet. I will be seeing Ferrari within the next, like, day or so.
Okay.
Have you seen anything by Mr. Michael Mann?
Ford versus Ferrari. He was an executive producer.
He didn't make it, though.
That's making it.
No, it's not.
What? You think producers don't make movies?
Executive producers? It's just a credit. You think Stan Lee made all the Marvel movies? No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did all the work. That's what you take credit for. Anyway, yeah, I've not seen anything he's directed yet. I want to see Ferrari. I want to see Miami Vice. I want to see Heat. I want to see Lucky. I think he's made things that supposedly are good. Michael Mann says he's done some studies. Yeah, he's done some studies, man.
He's done studies.
He's done studies. He's done all the research. He's a man of the books. Yeah, he said within the industry, and people are kind of getting tired of superhero movies and becoming more interested in pictures like Heat, if you like. Way to throw your own movie back on top again.
That'd be like if, like, Spielberg or Scorsese did. Like, who could fault him? Like, I've only heard, like, good things about the movies that he's made.
Yeah, I agree. It is funny, like, yeah, they're more interested in, you know, my movies.
My movies are good.
I don't know if he's wrong, but also I don't know if he's right. I don't think superhero fatigue is one of the things everyone says it is. I think people are just will wait to watch at home anything now, at this point, for streaming. And also are going to be, you can't get by with just a good movie at this point for super movies. It has to be actually great or world-breaking or something. Because, like, Blue Beetle, that was good. But everyone's like, you know, it wasn't enough. I'm like, okay. So it's harder to get by with things that are just good.
Yeah, I think with superhero fatigue, like, I don't think it's exactly what people are saying it is. I think that, like, films like Spider-Verse and Guardians of the Galaxy 3, like, show that people still love and still want to see this kind of stuff. But those are movies that, like, have not just, like, a huge amount of effort put into them, but a lot of, like, style and flair and heart to them. Right. And, like, the only other comic book movie from this year that has a similar effect, I would say, is like Blue Beetle and the Marvels, but both those don't have like the kind of flair to it like the other two did. But plus those also didn't have any marketing for them whatsoever, so that's also another big factor as to why no one saw it. But also, like, people are expecting these movies to all make $1 billion now, and like, no, they can't. The fact that a lot of them, the ones in the past, did was purely circumstantial.
Yay or nay on him, on these studies of his.
Yeah, I'll give it a yay. Why not?
Ferrari's in theaters now, fun fact.
Yes.
So is Rebel Moon Part 1.
That's on Netflix. It's cool. Bad.
So.
I hated it.
God damn it. I'm wheezing. It's bad. Josh is very nuanced today.
I just. Look, man.
He gave it 1 star Letterboxd.
Look, Snyder is someone that I have very mixed feelings on.
Not as a I have person, Snyder news.
We'll get to that. But as a film, he seems like a decent dude. I hope he's a decent dude at least. But as a
we film, are behind him until they're proven guilty or something else happens that makes us not love them.
Exactly. And like his films, I am very mixed on for a lot of them. This one is bad. I very much attribute it to he was like,
no, Josh, it's a nay, not a bad.
Whatever, it's a nay. Look, he was like the head writer of this, and whenever he writes stuff, it's usually not that good. Sucker Punch is terrible. Army of the Dead survives because he's not trying to make an important movie, he's trying to make a fun zombie heist movie. And then with this, he's going back to trying to make it an important movie, and it's not good.
Well, he should have probably stuck to a very, very original pitch for Star Wars, and then Because I think there's something that's changed because he could have strayed from Star Wars.
This is just a copy of Star Wars, Inglourious Basterds, like so many other like fantasy and sci-fi movies that it has nothing original of its own to say. It's, God. The film also looks terrible. Like, he was the DP of this one, and he at least learned his lesson from Army of the Dead, and every shot isn't in an extreme shallow focus, so that's good. But it also just looks bad. Like, it looks like the film negative was dipped in cat piss, and it looks awful. It's, God. I could rant forever about it. I'm not going to. Maybe if we do an episode on Rebel Moon. But, yeah. I don't think the director's cut can save this. There's clearly scenes missing, but it's not going to fix the poor, shallow characters. And by characters, I mean people that say words.
God damn!
They are not characters.
Josh, if you meet Zack Snyder and he heard this, what would you say to him?
I would be like, I like these. I would say what films I like. I would say I have immense respect for him as a visual storyteller. And I would just... I would want to just sit down and talk about his process. Because I'm genuinely curious. I want to understand the man more.
I have no opinion on this yet, because I've not seen it. But I might not. I'm yawning and dying. Snyder news! You like Zach overall so far, from what we are aware of?
He seems like a decent dude.
From what we are aware of. And we say about everyone, Zach, you're listening. I know you listen to all of our episodes.
Of course.
Also on comic book fatigue, Zack Snyder says he has comic book movie fatigue, saying the movies are in a cul-de-sac now. He adds they're no longer interested in and capable of telling self-contained stories. No one thinks they're going to a one-off superhero movie. I actually agree with that part more than anything else. No one thinks they're going to go, people think they're going to do homework, I think at this point. And they're tired of that. I know people don't want to go see the Marvels because it's attached to the wider worlds, the multiverse, whatever. People don't want to go see Blue Beetle because it's part of the DC universe, there's all this other stuff. Like, I get that, actually.
Yeah, I just think it's ironic he's talking about self-contained stories, and he himself has boasted that Rebel Moon is, like, this whole new universe and everything like that. Like, my guy, you are part of the problem also.
But it's the star. It's different.
He made one self-contained superhero movie with Man of Steel, and then the other ones were all these big universe setup stuff. I'm sorry, Zach, but you are part of the problem.
Now, also about Snyder, Christopher Nolan says there's no superhero sci-fi film coming out these days where I don't see some influence from Zack Snyder. When you watch a Zack Snyder film, you see and feel his love for the potential of cinema. Do you agree with Nolan here?
Look, I get their friends, and I get friends talk about friends like this.
Well, the reply says, I respectfully disagree.
Like, I don't even know, like, what he means by, like, influences. Like, does he mean, like, slow motion? Because, like, the only filmmaker that does, like, big superhero, like, I don't know, like, comic book iconography, like panels and stuff is Snyder. Like, no other comic book filmmaker.
Like, way too much, bud.
Whatever! I'm editing this!
Yes, I agree.
I respectfully disagree, Mr. Nolan.
I like the word. I think I do agree with him that you can see his love for the potential of cinema. That's probably true.
Yeah,
I believe Snyder really loves what movies can do. I love Man of Steel. Josh doesn't. I do love BVS Ultimate Edition, which should have gone to theaters out in that version of the movie. Because the extra half hour isn't the end of the world. It just isn't. I think I like Zack Snyder's Justice League. It's confusingly messy. I don't know, man. Whatever. I think Snyder has a cult now. Not in terms of him actually running a cult, but, like, he has followers that will just be an army for him. And it's so confusing.
He can literally just post, I woke up on Twitter, and they would somehow spin that into that confirms that he's bringing back the DCEU.
I'll give this a yay. I think Buddy is supporting Buddies. Yay.
Yay, indeed.
We have Mickey is public sorta. So, Mickey Mouse. Are you aware of who this is?
The Mouse Man from the Mouse Place?
Yeah, the Mouse Man from the Mouse Place.
Am I wrong?
Is he a Mouse Man? Or is he just a mouse?
He wears pants.
You know who doesn't wear pants? Fucking Donald Duck.
That's true. He doesn't. Why? He's flashing everyone.
But when he takes a shower, he puts a towel down around his bottom part only.
Look.
So he's one way or the other. He's flashing us. Anyway, the original He-Mouse and is in her public domain now. What that means is, do not use it, please. You will still get sued by Disney.
Specifically, the original Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie.
That is the one that's in public domain.
If you want to be safe, just use an image. If you use just the image, you're fine. Like, do not even alter it, and you're good. Because copyright law is different than trademark law, and they still have a trademark on Mickey Mouse. And so basically, if you take off the hat, you're going to get sued. If you have a different angle, you'll probably get sued. Like, they're so ready. They've had lawyers ready for like 80 years in retainer for this, buds. Like, buds? You're all my buds now, I guess. So be careful. Because, like, yes, one image, pretty much. One film, one short is public domain. But if you try that line too much, that's it.
And can I just say, if your first thought of when something goes into public domain is to make a slasher horror movie out of it, sorry.
That's up next.
I'm sorry. You're just uninteresting. Like, it wasn't funny the first time. It's not funny now.
It's not about being funny. It's about sending a message. We can do this.
It's a stupid message, then.
Speaking of which, we have a new first-looking poster for Mickey's Mousetrap, a new Mickey Mouse horror movie releasing in March. They will get sued.
Oh, for sure, because they have Mickey in the title. He's clearly not Steamboat Willie.
Yeah. We're also getting a game not called Mickey something, but it's a horror game coming out soon that involves a dead original Mickey, kind of like animatronic thing, whatever. It looks kind of FNAF-like. It's like something 88. I don't know. It's
the problem with this that I have is not the idea itself. It's the fact that, like, we have other games with a very similar idea and, like, that takes the aesthetic of those cartoons and uses it to its advantage. So now it just feels redundant at this point. Like, Bendy and the Ink Machine, I feel like, is the best version of this kind of idea. And then there's this, like, this first-person cartoon shooter game that's in the style of those, and it looks interesting and it looks fun. And now with this one, it just feels like, okay, you're just copying these other games.
The tagline of this movie is, this is not a fun house.
Yeah, they're getting sued.
So, that's so cool, right? We have news about Peter Pan is in public domain. Sort of, once again.
I thought that he already was.
No. Oh. Definitely not. Very hard, no. The original Peter Pan book, created by Jan Barry, is now public domain. Which I think is also Peter Pan and Wendy. Same story. I love Peter Pan, and I am now actually considering writing a feature film for this. Trying to capture the magic of the character. My goal with making it would be just convince my friend Todd he's a cool character. That's literally it. Anyway, yes, to this being public domain. But again, be careful. Disney's Peter Pan is in public domain. Neither is the Once Upon a Time version, which is also still Disney's version. Also, if your goal for this one is to do Dark and Twisted, it's been done almost by time. Don't do that. Now, you can have Peter stab some Lost Boys. That's in the source material. You can go a little crazy with it, but don't just make I'm evil and edgy now, because that's not interesting, and it's been done.
Yeah.
But yay, I am excited to see what this brings. I really kind of want to work on a movie version of this now that is faithful and fun. Godzilla. You're aware of the big lizard?
He's tall and green.
Sometimes. Toho's next Godzilla movie won't happen for a while yet. This is people who made Godzilla Minus One, by the way. Movies are the power of works. I want to have a good idea, a good script, a good director, and a good cast, and work on it carefully, because Godzilla is a character that is worth it. I love that mentality. That's for all of art, though. Cool.
Yep.
Jeremy Renner.
He's the bowman.
What?
The bowman. You know, he shoots the bow.
I thought you said boatman.
He could shoot a boat, too, if he tries.
My first thought was no, Josh. It was a snowplow. Jeremy Renner is returning to work just under a year after his snowplow incident. That's why I was saying that. I hear saying he got hit by a boat. I'm like, no, it was not a boat. It was a snowplow.
I'd be more confused as to how he got hit by a boat.
Look, man, it's just a challenge out there. But cool. I'm happy for him. Get work.
Woo.
I'm glad he's good enough to do it now. Give us a Hawkeye season 2 just to annoy Josh.
If it's a Hawkeye season 2, it just needs to be Kate Bishop.
No. Okay, fine. Ronan. Bring him back to... after it goes against the first season. Bring back Ronan now. Now, we do have a reported potential King recast, but I'm not going to get into that because we don't really have a good source yet for it.
It's not confirmed yet.
No, and I'm fine reporting rumors if I have it like from like Variety, Hollywood Reporter, something that's like a very but verifiable source. Yeah.
But if it is confirmed, I think this is a pretty dope casting.
We'll get into it if it happens. But we'll get into right now a different Marvel thing involving casting. Okay? Steven Yeun, reportedly, according to Hollywood Reporter, has dropped out of playing Sentry in Thunderbolts due to scheduling conflicts because the strike has pushed back so many different things.
This sucks.
Yeah, I get that reason, if it's true. I saw someone trying to report fake, like, trying to spread misinformation about this, saying he quit because he read the script. And people were, like, retweeting and stuff like that because they just didn't look at the source. I want people to read the sources. Please. But, yeah, I give this news a nay. It's sad. I thought it would have been really interesting casting. People are mad because he was also not a white man for the character, for the part. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Give him a DCU role. That's starting up. We got potential. Every character is open at this point, pretty much.
Make him Batman.
That would be an interesting choice. So, Sentry is no longer going to be Steven Yeun. If he ever was going to be the first place, officially. But, you know, it's all a little murky. We never got a confirmation from him or Marvel. So, it's fine. That's our last news piece, Josh. What do you think about this?
But yeah, that's... sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. Yep, good thoughts. You're very nuanced.
I am. I'm insightful.
It's time for your favorite segment of the world.
What
you ready for it?
I don't know.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
This is a segment we have.
It's a segment for today.
Oh,
we watched it.
Yep, the DCEU goes out with a very mild whimper.
I don't think James Wan is entirely the fault of this, but I don't know who is.
It's definitely a script thing, that's for sure.
For the record, Josh and I both didn't hate it.
I have very mixed feelings on it.
Yeah.
There's stuff that I like, there's stuff that I didn't like, and the stuff I didn't like mostly revolves around the script.
I was looking over Nicole afterwards, she's like, oh, this is fun. But she also said that there are parts where would want to fast forward through, and there are parts where if she was watching at home, she'd be on her phone. I'm like, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. It's so funny, and we'll get into this, but it takes a story that should be, like, very simple and straightforward, and for some reason makes it so overly complicated for...
Or a Capcom!
Yeah, like, for really no reason.
I don't like that the message of the movie partly is help the environment, but they caused the problem in this movie. Like, it should have been that the environment's just getting worse because of human beings and what they're doing.
It's very strange because, like, the first movie also tries to tackle it, but it also just completely forgets to tackle it. And, like, this one, they're just like, all right, we'll actually tackle it. And they don't do a good job of tackling it.
Oh, also, for going to this is non-spoilery. First, we'll say this is spoilers at a certain point.
Yeah.
You'll be safe. And if we spoil it by accident, you can skip whatever.
You know how it works.
Yeah, there's timestamps down below every episode. I didn't put that in the notes, so I actually say that on time one time. Yeah, the first movie, I'm also confused, because they brought up the fucking environment stuff, which was important, and Ormond's going to wage war on the surface world to try and fix this problem. And then Aquaman defeats him, and they never address it again. Like, that's still a problem, bud.
Yeah.
And in this movie, it sort of continued like that. Like, it's still a problem. We need to find a way to surface and actually find a way to fix this. That's not what it's about. It's about Black Manta.
He wants revenge.
Finding a magic stick.
Yeah,
he found a magic stick.
Black Manta finds a magic staff that's evil, and he wants revenge, and the staff makes it the most complicated revenge story I think I've ever seen in my life.
That being said, the magic stick, his Black Trident, is the same as Loki's scepter. It's also a FaceTime call with a weird thing from
space. That's why they say Loki. Okay.
You just got that?
I didn't understand it. I was like, why are they referencing Loki? This makes no sense.
It's the same exact thing.
Okay, then.
They were trying to lampshade it, but it's like, hey, it's a reference, but now we're addressing it. Patrick Wilson is fun in this.
He's a completely different character from the first movie.
Yes. He's not the same person, but he's fun.
I will say, like, I very much enjoyed this, the story of, like, you know, these two brothers that hate each other had to learn to work together and everything. I think that Jason
also, and Patrick... Also, it's not a spoiler, that's in the trailers.
Yeah. I think Jason and Patrick did really good with that.
Can you answer me one question that has never been answered, really?
Probably not.
Okay, cool.
Go on.
What is Arthur's personality besides I'm relatable?
His personality is my man and Yahoo!
Yeah, he does the goofy scream a lot. Yahoo!
I would say the first movie, he has more of a personality, like, with the, you know, Yahoos and stuff added to it.
With the Yahoos? Does he, though? Because from his beginning, it was a BVS, I'm mysterious and broody, and, okay, provided BVS just poking with a stick at a camera. And
swimming yeah, away. So Justice League.
Justice League. It was, I'm broody, and I'm drinking alcohol, I get splashed by water. Actually, sorry, that's the trailer. In the movie, he's also, I'm relatable, cool guy.
Okay, which one are we talking about? Justice League or the Snyder Cut?
Both, honestly. He doesn't have a personality in his movies.
He's just Jason Momoa having fun.
Is that enough for a character personality? I don't know.
I mean, I didn't hate watching him. It's more character than all the characters in Rebel Moon. See, I find ways to tie things back.
And then in stuff like in this, he's just like, eat a cheeseburger, man. Eat some fries and a beer. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What? I'm the ultimate dad. Look, I have a kid now. I'm a dad.
Yeah, if there's any major complaint I have, and there's a lot of complaints, the humor in this sucked. Like, there's very rarely ever a joke that got more than, like, a slight snicker out of me. Most of the time, I was just like, ah, they're trying to be funny again. Please stop.
Did you stay for the credit scenes? I didn't do that.
It was one mid-credit scene.
I know.
And it's just, I know what it yeah. is. What a final image for the DCU to go out.
We'll put that in spoilers because it's funny to talk about later on. My friend Sinjin's review,
who couldn't have been on the show today, this movie.
He wanted to be on this episode, but couldn't. Also, I agree with almost every one of his points still.
He's not wrong.
He's wrong with everything he said in it, but I just thought it was more fun. So that's literally it. Like, I thought this was more fun than what he said. He had a half a star. His first line in this is saying, not to be dramatic, but that was one of the most abysmal movies I've ever seen. He also told me later he would have given it a zero if he could have. There's bad lines in this. The dialogue sucked.
It's a bad script. This is the biggest problem with it. Not only is the story so overly convoluted, it's just, like, the dialogue is not good.
Momoa was the writer on this?
He has a story by credit, so I don't know how much.
James Wan, there's a lot of writers in this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if you count Wan and Momoa. There's an original writer and then other people who are writers. Interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those movies where you can tell it's just, it got put through the ringer so many times, and I have no idea what the original, like, vision of it was.
The original writers also wrote Aquaman, King of Atlantis, the weird, like, green and yellow chibi short stuff.
Interesting.
It's not a short. It's a. You said on. It was on a Max. It was like the. Yeah. Abdul Mateen needed to do more of this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have this, like, fantastic actor with such a already a fully established character.
I'm gonna kill Aquaman and everything he holds dear.
And, like, look, it's a basic revenge plot, but, like, I'm fine with a basic revenge plot. It works.
It worked in the last film.
And, like, and it could have worked here, but they made it too complicated.
I liked last time that he had nothing, that he had to ask for help. And this film was like, I have a crew, and I'm paying them minimum wage, and we have a ship and a mine and a rig, and everyone's got guns and weapons. Like, how are you doing this?
I guess
that was before he got the Trident. Last time, Atlanteans funded him.
I don't know.
What? That's actually my biggest question in the whole movie is, The entire stuff of this makes no sense because he has resources that were never explained. Not even like in a lazy way, like, hey, remember when I got this thing? Yeah, that really paid off. Like, nope.
I don't get how the Trident repaired his suit.
It didn't.
Then how the fuck did the suit get repaired?
The power suit he never used again.
Well, then, like, his helmet. Because he hadn't repaired his helmet at all, then.
He had a table of other helmets.
Oh, I missed that then.
Yeah, he's basically just wearing a wetsuit with the helmet. I loved whales, so I genuinely love seeing whales or sharks any time I can. Not in the water with me as much, that's spooky. But, like, gotta see a bunch of whales on camera making a bunch of sonar. I laughed when the baby made sonar. Like, it looked so stupid. I understand it made sense. Okay, we're not going to address the baby question in this yet. When everyone's had a line, we're not going to address. That'll be spoilers. Okay, some other points for my set friend, some points for my friend Sinjin. He brought the global warming thing, how it's all done by an evil person. Yeah, that's stupid. Also, the main theme of family, brotherly bonds, and, like, you know, Orm was in prison for a year and, like, beaten and abused, like, starved and stuff. And at the end of the movie, Aquaman's like, I told you, I'm always there for you. No, you were not! It was the weirdest thing in the country. I that's my first thought in the movie, too. Like, what do you mean you're always there for him? You let him rot.
Yeah.
For I think, years, plural? Also, Aquaman struggles to the political side of being king, and the council vetoes every decision he makes, but he does whatever he wants anyway. It's like, ah, I can't do anything. Okay, I'm just gonna go do that thing anyway, with no consequences.
Yeah, like, he talks about how, like, breaking Orm out of prison is gonna, you know, start a war, and then he just does it, and then there's no consequences for it.
What is... Okay, we're gonna... Josh, explain Orichalcum.
I don't really know.
If you can.
The movie barely explains it. It's like some resource that the old Atlanteans had, and it was like destroying the planet. So then they were like, okay, this is bad, so let's bury this forever. And then the evil skull people that power the evil Trident are just like, hey, we need this. So, like, go take it and burn it so that way we can survive and live and all that. And I thought that it was to power Manta's ship first, and that's not at all what it was for.
No. Did you enjoy seeing Randall Park back?
I thought... I mean, sure. Like, I don't have it... I guess?
Yeah, Stephen Shin, his character, is back, and in the beginning of the movie, Manta is like, I am looking for a way to defeat Aquaman, and they're looking for Atlantean stuff, whatever, and he's helping... Because at the end of the last movie, Stephen Shin met with him, and they're going to go, and also Stephen Shin is Randall Park's character, if you're not aware. And they're going in the Arctic or whatever, and I thought, this is the same thing as National Treasure in the beginning. And then they go and they find ice with a monster, and a monster kills, like, everyone but that besides them two.
And then they go into the hole where the monster is, and the monster is gone.
It's gone. Never addressed again. And then they find a Trident, which later on Manhunter wakes up and things have been solved and he's fine. Confusing. So Aquaman has a baby now. He's a dad. And
sure,
they left out Mera out of the marketing, which I think is, no matter what side of that conflict you were on, is a good move for the movie, because they don't want to bring any of that drama one side or the other into the movie, I think, and that's what they're trying to avoid. Yeah. I will say I liked Amber Heard's performance. She didn't do anything, but I liked she was fine. Nicole Kidman, on the other hand, I did love in this, but I didn't believe her in this.
Most of the side characters in this, like Amber Heard, Nicole Kidman, Dolph Lundgren, who I completely forgot was in the first movie. And they just, like, don't have anything to them in this one.
Like, Tamara Morrison, I think, had more to do in this than Nicole Kidman and Amber Heard.
I think it's so funny that the end of the first movie shows him and Nicole Kidman, like, reuniting, getting back together, and then she's, like, not there at all with him, which is very strange.
All I want to see is my two sons working together. Really?
What about your
husband? When was that clear? Also, when was that clear? Yeah. Do you want to get into spoilers of this movie? Also, anything on plot-wise we can say non-spoilery that you thought was interesting? I will say, when the DCU resets, I will miss the costume design from this.
The costume design of this is really good, still.
The DCEU, I think, has the best superhero costumes of any franchise ever. And I think because they all felt unique and different, like, to each culture, like, in Justice League, looking at the side-by-side of everyone, like, Flash's suit made sense for that character and felt, like, made by him. Batman's suit felt like it had, like, actual years of history behind it. Superman's suit felt alien. Wonder Woman's suit felt like actual, like, armor from her own culture, as well as Aquaman's felt like armor from his culture. And I really, really liked that vibe. And it's going to be hard to replicate. You're not going to get a better Aquaman costume than this one.
No.
I don't think. So, good luck with that, costume designer. Please don't make it all feel like it's coming the same person like the MCU costumes do. Please. Yeah, this movie's fine. I gave it a 3-star on Letterboxd, but I don't know how I feel about it, honestly. It's fine.
I don't really know. It's like, compared to, like, The Flash, I would say The Flash is more egregious on certain accounts, but I would say the story of that one is more focused and easier to follow. It's like that movie has a much clearer and focused story. This one, the story is kind of all over the map and, like, is just, like, very unfocused and needlessly complicated. So, like, on that account, I would say, like, I could watch The Flash better for that, but, like, this, I prefer, like, the action and the direction better, because, like,
I like that they stopped having people burst through walls 35 seconds.
I did like that they made a reference to it. That was pretty funny.
When?
Yeah, it's, like, when it happens in this, and, okay, so we're in spoilers now, and...
We are? Officially?
I thought we were. You said it!
Sure.
Okay. So it's, like, when Orm and Aquaman go down to, like, Manta's place where he's got, like, all the minerals and stuff, and Randall Park is, like, explaining, like, you know, what's happening. There's, you know, an explosion that happens, knocks him down, and then Aquaman's just like, I hate when that happens, because that happened all the time in the first
movie. All the time, yeah. Also, if you thought that Marbles was worse than this, you're crazy.
You're dumb.
No, hold on, Josh.
No, you're dumb. Don't insult
our... No. Damage control, please help. No, I don't think you're dumb. I think your opinions are valid, but it's just I don't agree with you at all. I'm confused by it. If you think Marvel is worse than this, explain it to me. Email us, please, at podgeekspeak@gmail.com, or hop in Discord and explain to us. Rant to us in a Discord call. Explain to us why we're wrong. Which also, there's a Discord in the description of the episode, as well as our email and Twitter and stuff. I quote Jason Momoa from the press tour saying, "It's not looking too good." That's my review, Josh. Now, this movie, I'm confused. A lot of it, I'm confused. I think the first one had a much tighter script.
So, which is also funny because it also had, like, I wouldn't say complicated script, but it had a script with a lot going on.
Well, it was straightforward, though. Like, the entire plot was simple overall. It was the story of King Arthur. That's what it was. This one is not that. And the story of this is Arthur's baby dies. No. Arthur's baby should have died. That's my new take for the day.
Like, I mean, if we're being completely honest, I think that would have been, like, that would have made this stand out a lot. And would have given, like, Aquaman, like, a much better reason for, you know, going after Manta and everything. And they don't even follow through with killing his dad. Like, Manta stabs him, and then he's, like, he's fine. I'm just like, wouldn't you want to kill his dad? Like, the same thing that happened to you? I don't know, man.
Well, he tried, I think, was the idea.
He did! He said, I want you to bleed out, and, like, so he can see you or something like that.
Yeah, he wanted to see him die.
It's just like, I feel like that the impact either way would have, you know, worked, so why not just kill him?
Yeah, this movie, I don't know, man, I am tired. Okay, I do have thoughts. The plot of this movie, which is not the same as trailers. The trailers made it seem like a much different story, honestly, to me. It seems like a much more simple revenge story.
Yeah.
Like, very simple. I'm not mining for Auroch Halcom to build an underground empire of demon people. That's weird. Not needed. I don't think this movie feels like an Aquaman movie. If you take out that character and keep the exact same story, and you could attach this to any character. It's such a generic plot. I wanted more out of that. I wish Aquaman was blonde. Still a problem for me.
I think if there's any positives I have with this is that James Wan understands that this is like a comic book movie, and so like not only is there like just weird visuals and stuff, there's also just weird shit in this. Like the prison that Patrick Wilson is held in is in the middle of the desert, guarded by skeleton people that drink blood. Like, that is pure comic book insanity, and I love it. And I feel like that he and James Gunn are the only directors working in this field right now that understand this insanity, and I appreciate that.
Everything in the Oracuca mine looked plastic.
It was a set. I was happy that there were sets in this movie.
Yeah, but it still looks fake to me. It really bothered me.
I don't care. I prefer it over just CGI nonsense.
Cinder just messaged me saying, if Aquaman 2 had zero haters, I'm dead. yeah. Let's talk about the plot of the story. So it opens with Arthur doing a narration again, like the last movie. And this time, we don't have the moment of kid him going, you mean she was executed? Because me? Whatever. We don't have that moment. We don't have Willem Dafoe anymore because I guess scheduling conflicts made him not in the script.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe couldn't be in this for like scheduling conflicts. So they're like, all right, he's dead now.
Dead.
I'm just like, oh, well, okay then.
You'll never come back now. Well, now he really won't because this is a dead series. The plot is we have narration with Arthur talking about how now he's a dad and a king, and he hangs out his armor to dry for no reason. Was it supposed to be funny? It didn't work. It didn't make sense.
Like most of the humor in this, he gets peed in the mouth twice in this movie.
Once by an octopus.
Never mind, he gets peed three times in the mouth.
Where's the other two times?
He got peed in the mouth by his son twice.
Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, yeah. Yes, never mind, three times. The octopus is fun in this. But so the story opens with Arthur talking about his day. I'm a dad. I also live with my parents still. Parent, singular. No, parents. He splits the time difference. He's in the latest end of his dad. He's still a child of divorce. Going back and forth.
No, it's not divorce. It was just like they were forced to be separated. Look, man, I don't know.
Do you hear yourself? Yeah, but he's basically a child of divorce, going back and forth between houses as a grown man in his 40s or whatever. And his wife also lives with him in both houses and their baby. Weird scenario. You know, I would probably just stay living at Landon. I think he's just visiting his dad, but it comes across like I'm living there too.
I think he's living there.
I think he's living, because he's is he just living there and being a king down below, is on like, you know, going to work 9 to 5 down below in the water?
I guess.
Weird vibes. And then he's like, this is the best thing in the world. Sometimes though, he pees on me. I have to dodge that. And he doesn't. Ever. And that's the plot of the movie. Oh, also Mantis mad at him, like I explained earlier, met with Stephen Shin. He got a thing called Aura Calcum. Dumb name, but better name than Unobtainium. Yeah, Aura Calcum also, I think, is something from the comics as well. I'm pretty sure. So I at least like that they actually picked something that's not original. Yeah. Dying. Hold on. Aura Calcum is also an actual mineral, a separate thing.
Huh.
Why would you name something after a real ore? What?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. I had spoiler thoughts, but I don't remember anymore. I guess. Yeah, the question I put over on Twitter was, would the baby die? Because it looked like he was going to die.
No.
No. And I think that the movie should have been written a lot differently, where there's no weird empire of dead people. I think Mantis should have had maybe three people on his side, total. Not an army. Or at least show that he's been building up an empire. Like, say how he did it somehow.
All he has to do is like get some Atlanteans that don't agree with Arthur as king and wanting to destroy the surface, and like just get them to his side. Like, there's very basic and simple things that it seems like they should have done and then they didn't. I don't know. It feels like that because this has been delayed so much and was God knows how much was reshot.
Yeah, where were the Batmans in this originally?
I don't know where they would have been. Maybe the ending?
Because this had originally Michael Keaton in it, and then Ben Affleck, and now neither.
My guess would be the ending of when, you know, he goes to the surface world and reveals Atlantis. It's like, we're going to work together. That'd be my guess. Other than that, I have no idea.
Because my thought in the movie was also like, you know what would have been helpful? If he called the Justice League to help him. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, anyone. Maybe not Flash. Probably wouldn't have been helpful underwater.
I feel like I think most of them, though, probably couldn't have been the most helpful underwater.
I think Bruce has a lot of different ships.
Okay, Bruce, yes. Most other people, not really.
Introduce Hal Jordan in this movie.
Sure.
Underwater. Oh, at the end, mid-credits scene is he had a cockroach, right?
Yeah, because there's a joke that, because they're walking through a forest and Aquaman gives Orm a cockroach. He's like, this is the shrimp of the land. And Orm, you know, eats it and he likes it. And then he's having a burger at the mid-credits and a cockroach walks on his table and he puts it on the burger and he eats it. And that is the final image of the DCEU.
Which was never even officially named. It was named that by, like, someone online.
I had no idea.
How do words get made? Yeah, it's a sad image to leave the whole universe on. It's also sad to me that this is how it ends. I wish it was better.
It's such a nothing movie. Like, not much of consequence happens in it. And it's just not an interesting story either. The only thing that really saves it is I like these actors and I like James Wan's direction. And it was a pretty movie to look at. But just, I barely remember what happens in it. Apparently Martin Short was that weird fish gangster man, which I didn't know until the credits happened.
Thank you! Okay, I thought it was him. The voice. I'm like, this is too familiar. I kept hearing the mop line in my head. yeah. Very much. Why did they do Jabba's Palace? That was weird. They did the Jabba's Palace
scene. It's a fish casino, though. Again, that's weird, bonkers shit. I like it.
But it was Jabba's Palace. What do you mean?
I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that it was giving me something to look at.
That's fair. We got the canyon crawlers from Avatar: The Great Divide in this, crawling up the canyon.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was interesting. I really liked the fact that Ocean Master Orm couldn't run.
That was a good joke. I like that.
It's like, I'm not, you don't do this much. I'm just underwater. Because it's fair. It's a skill you wouldn't know. There's actual skills that you would have no idea how to do. And I like that. That's funny. I don't know, man. I want a burger now.
Good for you, man.
This movie made me want a burger. Think about it.
I hope you don't put a cockroach on it.
You can't control me.
I'm concerned now.
Would you watch a third one? If this was continuing, would you enjoy a third one?
If it had a better script, then yes. Because I like these actors and I like James Wan's style for it. It just needed a good script and it just didn't have one.
I think we need more character work with Aquaman himself to understand who he is really in this world.
Because he doesn't really... Like, we need to know more about him and he doesn't really go on a journey in this... And not, you know, every movie needs to have a character going on a journey, but I just kind of feel like that this one was ripe for that, like with him and his brother.
I also think he should have been a good king. He should have made the choice to make him actually a good king.
Yeah.
And respected. Because, like, in the last movie, let's compare us to Black Panther. Because they pull Wakanda for Black Panther at the end of this movie. And they open up upon Wakanda at everyone.
Oh, yeah, that's right, they did.
This movie is just derivative of all of other things. I watched it the whole time we're watching it. But the thing is, when T'Challa, when Killmonger won the challenge, a lot of people respected him. When T'Challa beat him again, a lot of people respected him. I know everyone respected Killmonger, of course, because he did insane things. But I mean, like, I like the idea that if you follow the actual rules and prove you're a good leader, like for instance, T'Challa, prove he's a good leader, won the challenge, did well. Give it to Aquaman. Make him a good leader. Show it. Or Shuri, good leader. She took over Wakanda with M'Baku, and no one questioned her decision making. Let us just have Aquaman be a good leader who's respected by his people, please. Like, that would have been actually a really helpful thing, and it would have let the story flow a lot better, I think. He could have some minor conflict from the Council River, like, a tiny bit, like, but, like, I don't know. It feels weird to me to have the King of Atlantis not be liked by his people in a movie all about him, when, like, that should be the central focus. That's not a conflict we needed to add into this movie. Josh, thoughts?
It's there. It's another movie. There's not really much to say about it. If you go see it and you want to see it, you might like it. If you have no interest in it, I honestly can't say that there's anything that will make you like it. I don't know, man.
Although Arthur this time does save Manta. You know, oh, tries to, and then Manta pulls a Zhao and kills himself.
Yeah, but it was also funny watching this, because most of the time when he's fighting Manta, like, Manta still isn't doing great. Like, he, like, barely survives by the skin of his teeth, even with, like, the power of the Trident. It just made me realize, like, he was more formidable in the first movie than he is in this one.
Can I tell you the funniest part of the whole movie? The one thing that made me laugh a lot?
What thing?
Aquaman threw the black Trident at the Crypt Keeper bad guy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He caught it. Aquaman thought, fuck it, I'll do it again.
You see, Aquaman
then threw his gold Trident, and it worked this time. He pulled a Robin Hood. Yeah, he split the arrow down the middle, broke the other Trident. I'm like, okay, why did you try it again?
You see, that's the thing that I love about this Aquaman. He is a himbo through and through, and he will just think before he ever actually thinks.
What? He will think before he thinks?
Let me rephrase. He will act before he thinks. There you go.
He will think before he ever actually thinks. Yep, that's Josh's brain today. So I think that was the dumbest thing. And I laughed, but like, what the fuck is your plan here? Throw it. Fucking didn't work.
Next Turn it plan. Again.
Do it again.
What if that one didn't work?
Yeah, that's your only weapon left. Let's get rid of that one, shall we?
You'll just go up and start punching him.
The last movie, the villain was main villain, Orm, side villain, Black Manta. In this movie, it was main villain, Black Manta, side villain for like a minute and a half, Orm, when he had the Black Trident. I thought, are we really going to do this? Are we really going to have him be evil again? I'm like, I'm glad they didn't make him evil again. I wish they just had it not. Also, the power of brotherly love saving him was so fucking stupid in this movie. Yeah. Because you don't know each other at all.
But he calls
the
him
two
brother.
Memories. The two memories they played was the half a second from Aquaman 1, where they're like, "Good luck, or whatever," and then 1 second from this, where their mom is saying, "Hug me," you know, your dad just died. Pretty much, it's like this is not the brotherly love moment that should snap him out of this. I don't know. Maybe don't do this for our mom, something like that. Not, I love you, brother. I helped you be trapped in prison and abused for years. Weird vibes. Just kill the baby, man. That's how I want to end this part of the... I just kill the baby. I don't hate babies. Let me preface this. Like, I have a baby nephew who's amazing and stuff. I love babies. They're great. But let's kill this baby. The plot of this should have been, early on, Manta... The scene from the trailer with his house burning down should have been like 10 minutes into the movie.
It really should have.
That should have been a huge catalyst. That should have been the movie's about is an equal side revenge. And then Orm, help me. I know and Orm, you know, like could have been like, I helped us get our mother back. Help me revenge my father. Something like that would have been a better story for this. Much more straightforward. And then you can still have a magic black trident or whatever, but don't make it a ghost FaceTime call. I don't get this choices in this. And James Wan, I respect you. I actually respect everyone who worked on this. This is not any one person's fault. This is a mess that became from studios changing, people changing, two or three Batmans, you know? We had a lot of things happening.
A delay with COVID probably messed with it also. There's, like,
delay with strikes?
Yeah, there's, like, so many factors that just, like, made this not work.
At the end of the day, I'd probably watch it again.
I'm in no rush to watch it again.
I kind of want to force Sinjin to watch it again. If you don't know who he is, he's a friend of the podcast. He's been on before. He'll come on again this year.
I think he might murder you if you do that to him.
Look, man. He loves Tarkovsky. This is the same vibe.
I don't think so. To each his own, I guess.
That's our thought. So Aquaman, Lost Kingdom, yay or nay? No in between, one or the other.
If there's no in between, I guess I'll give it a nay. Like, this is this isn't the worst comic book movie I've ever seen, but it certainly is not a good one.
I give a yay for one reason and one reason only. Josh, ready for it?
Sure.
Whales.
That's a good reason. Yeah.
Also, the octopus was fun.
Yes, I loved, again, this is back to the insanity. I love that he used an octopus for a jailbreak. Like, that's so stupid, I love it.
They gave him Aquaman Seahorse.
Yeah.
It's Storm, right? Is that the horse's name?
I think so.
Yeah, Storm. Like, it's his actual comic book pet. And I love that. They designed it, this movie, really cool, actually. I like the look of it. Like, this weird neon blue kind of vibe. Looks like bioluminescent. I like that a lot. One thing that's cool is because this is, like, deep ocean, whatever. They could make any creature look like anything. That's fun. Weird Jabba the Hutt scene. Weird Black Panther ripoff. Weird ripoff of other movies now. What is this movie? Can you explain to me one sentence what it is?
Yahoo!
Thank you, Goofy. Moving on. Josh, I didn't explain this very fully in the beginning of the episode. So what is a super weird story?
So I know nothing about comics and nothing involving it. Like yesterday, I found out that Batman, his mom is Jewish. So he's part Jewish. So I never knew that. Just an amazing example of how I know nothing. And Sean knows more than me. So he just rants to me about things. I'm like, huh, that's certainly a super weird story.
Are you at least aware Spider-Man is Jewish?
I am now. I didn't know that for the longest time.
Okay, he said I am now. I think like this exact second. Now I know. He even speaks like Yiddish in comics a lot. Okay, this is once again from my trusty book, The League of Regrettable Superheroes by John Morris. I've not pulled one of these out in a while, Josh.
This is true.
You ready for it?
I don't know.
What do you think this character's going to be about?
Something inappropriate.
This is Ultra, the multi-alien.
So, very inappropriate.
Right? You ready to hear a quote from him?
Should I be scared?
No. I've somehow become a weird alien. Four of them.
You know what? Me too, bud. If I became a weird alien that there was four of, I would react the exact same way.
Okay. So, Ultra, the multi-alien, debuted in the 60s. Can you guess to what company?
DC.
Yes. That's why I picked a DC character because Aquaman is DC. And the DCU is starting up, bringing Ultra, the multi-alien. Debuted in Mystery in Space, number 103, DC Comics, November 1965. Created by Dave Wood and Lee Elias. Okay. So, he can fly like a bird, he has magnetic forces, lightning powers, and super strength, all, because four different aliens have four different powers, and he's all of them in one person. Sometimes, his body is split into four parts.
So not four separate people, but four parts?
I'll show you a picture, okay?
I need to know.
And I need you to describe what you're seeing on the page.
Oh, boy.
Like, his body is divided into quadrants. Sending this to you now, Josh. Here we go. Enjoy that image.
So he's got a chicken leg, a big bird leg. The left half of him is Dr. Manhattan, and then the right half of him is Bigfoot.
But green.
I guess.
And the big bird part is actually lightning. Okay. See, it says dazzled by his lightning powers.
I mean, I guess this is creative.
Also, he's wearing tidy whities.
He really is.
Okay, so in the mid-60s, the space race between the United States and the Soviet Union was very much in the minds of, well, everyone. Sputnik, Yuri Gagarin, and space dog Laika were practically ancient history. The moon landing was still half a decade away. And so two of the great superpowers were competing to rack up as many interstellar firsts as possible and come out on top. It only makes sense that superheroes would make a race for space as well.
Fascinating. Of course.
Notable crime busters who frequented DC's comics of the era included Flash, Adam Strange, the Star Rovers, Futuristic Mystery Man, Space Ranger, Star Hawkins, and Space Cabby. That's a character, yes, Space Cabby. Outer space was so intriguing to people, they needed a space cabby. So, but the weirdest of all of them was Ultra the Multi-Alien. Capturing the Jet Age appeal of the daring test pilot, Ultra's alter ego was the unlikely named Ace Arn. The man that you see behind this picture, this ginger boy, is named Ace Arn. It's a great name. He's a space flyer from the not-too-distant future whose rocket crash lands on a strange alien world. Ace then stumbles across four otherworldly criminals in the middle of an arms deal and becomes a simultaneous victim of the questionable quartet's strange ray guns. I'm confused by this already. Because why do you get all getting shot, turn him into them?
How would it not?
Naturally. Okay. See, their brand of gun was designed to transform the target into an obedient member of the shooter's alien species. How convenient.
How convenient.
Struck by all four at once, Ace is transformed into four aliens in one, with one each quarter of his body differently transmuted. His left leg being a blazing lightning bolt possessed by electric powers. His right leg a feathered talon that grants him the power of flight. Imagine it being able to fly from one leg. That's like Hermes' shoes, but only one shoe.
Yeah.
That seems awful. It can literally, on the thing, you can see there's like one Hermes wing. And then, of course, on his right upper body, it becomes his, and along his right part of the head, becomes a shaggy mess of powerful green muscles, like the Hulk. Okay. And his hairless blue left side is now possessed with tremendous magnetic powers. Alien abilities notwithstanding, Ultra resembles a mixed-up box of puzzle pieces. Likewise, he assembled his superheroic pseudonym by making an acronym of his assailant's home planets: Ula, Laru, Thraga, and Raygun. Sticklers will want to know that the final A is taken from Ace Arn's own initials. Oh yeah, there are sticklers to the character, apparently. Newly dubbed Ultra turned tragedy into opportunity by using his tremendous powers as a scourge against intergalactic crime. Well, for a little while anyway. After 8 issues, the comic in which his story unfolded was canceled, and Ultra was retired. The multi-alien is occasionally revived at parent company DC, albeit indignity heaped upon indignity, usually as a butt of a joke. So, I think this character actually has potential.
I think the idea of having someone that has, like, basically... kind of like
it's,
super
it's
scrawny.
Kevin Levin. It's yeah. Kevin Levin from Ben 10 original.
I think characters like that are always like neat and interesting. And like there's I think if DC brought him back, I think that could be interesting.
So fun fact, he's actually come back a few times.
Oh.
Like in the New 52, he was reestablished as a result of an experiment on Lord Bythes. In which he combined the DNA of alien prisoners in an attempt to create the Slayer of Worlds. So like, they actually have used him occasionally. He's in the Brave and the Bold for an episode. Episode called The Siege of Starro. He makes a cameo appearance in Superman Unbound. He's discussed on a segment with Conan O'Brien, calling him a mess. I don't understand why Conan O'Brien knows who this is, but fascinating. Would this be a character you want to see in the new DCU?
I think that it could fit for, like, if Gunn is going for a more comic-accurate universe and, like, really ups the zaniness, then I would say yes. I don't think he would be a main villain, but I think it would be, like, a fun villain for, like, Superman to come across.
Well, he's a hero.
You know what I mean? Hero, villain, it's all the same.
Josh, if you were hired to pitch this movie, would you do it?
I mean, maybe I could.
Make Jason Momoa Mr. the Ultra Man, Ultra the Multi-Alien. In the new DCU, have him be Ace Arn, the test pilot.
Yes.
Give this to Glenn Powell. So this is a character that's, I think, weird, but like actually interesting enough that I would enjoy seeing something with this character. Noted, his reappearances in like things like media and comics have usually been as backgrounds in the drawing. Because it's easier to draw that four fun thing in the background than it is to actually give him a purpose. Although, like, I think the idea of being a fly, having lightning powers, magnetic powers, and super strength, those are cool powers to have for a character.
Yeah.
So, like, you could do a lot with him. Make him their new Iron Man. Make him their new starting a universe. Any final thoughts on this character, Josh?
Neat. Interesting. Not too horrifying. So I'd say that's a positive.
Any final thoughts on the episode as a whole?
Like, of everything we talked about?
Yeah.
Neat as well.
Cool. Even the Vin Diesel thing is neat to you? Wow.
I don't know.
Let's see how it is. You're doing great today, Josh.
I know words.
Thank you for listening today. My name is Sean. That's not how I end this at all.
I'm Josh. and this is the podcast.
Josh, where can we find you online?
I'm at places. I'm on Twitter at JamesCoreRudy28, Instagram JamesCoreRudy16, YouTube Josh Rudolph, and Letterboxd at Nerd4Film28.
You can find me on TikTok and Instagram at ThatNerdTheater, or on Instagram, I just said that, or on Twitter at TheTheaterNerd, or you can follow the show on Twitter at GeekSpeakPod, or tweet us with hashtag GeekSpeakPod, or join our Discord, which is in the description now. We're trying to build community as much as we can. I would love to see all you wonderful faces down in the Discord, and where you can help comment on the different episodes, vote in tier lists, play games together, etc. And you also can email us show at podgeekspeak@gmail.com, and we will read your thoughts aloud. Not like you read your mind, but like read your thoughts that you send us, like your emails.
Not that you know.
You have powers to read minds?
Not that you know.
Oh, well, now I know.
I'll know. He knows too much.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. It was a blast, and we hope to have you back next time for Luck of the Irish. And probably an even weirder story. I have some ones I'm going to pull up, make Josh uncomfortable.
Yay.
All right. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.
Goodbye.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.